Thank you, Lily, for the announcements. And as you can see, not everything that happens in this church happens on Sunday mornings, and that's the way it should be. Well, as Lily mentioned, we had an amazing time last night, and it was wonderful how all this came together. It took a lot of planning, a lot of preparation, but our seniors were prayed for. And there you go. You can see them right there on in front of the mansion there. We have from, I guess, your right, my left, Wilson, and have Enoch there, and Victoria, and Justin, and Victor. And we have one missing, that was Sam. So it's six that were moving on to be a freshman in college. And so we had a wonderful time of playing kickball because we felt like that would be the safest. And we all masked up and almost hyperventilated because we couldn't breathe so well. I played outfield so I could get some air and oxygen every once in a while. And but we did have a great time, and everybody just, you know, we enjoyed having some running around and some fun together. And then afterwards, we had a worship time. Julie and I led some worship. Julie actually led the worship. And then we had some gifts that were presented to the students as well. Some devotional guides, a prayer guide, and also some nice little snacks. Some green tea with lemon and ginger in it for those cold nights or those coffee nights, maybe, for the first semester, which they will probably be spending at home, unfortunately, through virtual online education. So a lot of other goodies in there, but we were thankful, Lord, that we were able to you know, just send them off, and then we prayed for them afterwards. So this morning, we do want to do that. We want to pray again for these seniors. You know what to pray for. I don't really need to go through a list. And then secondly, we want to pray for the situation at hand. There's a lot going on in terms of how to handle this crisis, and it affects a lot of people. The storm, everybody's in the storm. Some are weathering the storm very well. Some are in their yachts, okay, basically, and they're not really affected at all very much. And there's those that are barely able to tread water. And then you have everybody in between. Everybody is in the storm, but everybody's handling it differently. So you are going to see a series of about five slides. On those five slides, there's just bullet points, pretty much, of what we can pray for. I'm not going to explain them. We're just going to go through them. So what I'd like you to do this morning is this. Wherever you are, okay, pray with your eyes open. Just go through and pray down these points, okay? We're going to spend a minute and a half on each slide. So just pray. Maybe at home, you may want to take one, each member, take one slide and pray out loud. You may want to go every other point. You may want to just pray silently. However you want to do it, go ahead, okay? Let's just do that, and Caleb will advance the slides about every 90 seconds, and then at the end I'll pray. Does that make sense? So let's pray. Sorry, there we go. Okay, let's begin, and just pray as you wish. Father, we just want to commit these prayers to you. Thank you for hearing us. You say where there's two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst, and we agree, and we ask in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would answer our prayers according to your will. Father, our heart just goes out to those, especially students that are suffering. Statistics say that reading is down 31%, reading scores. Math scores are down 50% as a result of being in sheltered. And Lord, we pray those statistics would reverse. We know there's millions that get food through feeding programs at schools, and they can't. So Lord, would you feed those who need lunches and nutrition? Lord, we know that mental health is up as a result of isolation. Those students, Lord, that are disabled, they can't get the kind of care they need from special education teachers. And Lord, they're suffering. Would you reach out to the vulnerable that need your help right now? And they're dependent upon health professionals and educational professionals. Be with them, Lord. Lord, we know 50 million children are going to be out of school and at home doing virtual work. And Lord, we ask God that you would help them to learn. We know that there's going to be 5.6 million parents maybe that will be staying at home that won't be able to go to work. Well, how are you going to provide for them, Lord? And how is that all going to work out? Lord, we know that nothing is too difficult for you. These numbers are, to us, they're big, but to you, they're small. Would you reach out to the children, to the parents, and provide for them? Lord, at home, would you provide here for our church opening committee? Give them wisdom as they figure out a four-step plan to reopen. So be with the church committee, and within a few weeks, we'll have a plan. But we want to make sure that plan is your plan. So would you give them wisdom? And again, we ask that you would be with our first semester students. It's going to be difficult, but you're going to provide for them as well. And finally, we pray for Pastor Lee, who had a brief fall, or a severe fall, actually, this last week or a few days. But he's doing okay. And we pray, Lord, that his memory will come back to him and that he'll have no long-term effects. So be with our dear brother in the Lord, Pastor Lee, at this time. Gently lay your hands, your healing hands, upon him. Be with us now as we continue to study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Noah was a mature man when he got drunk. So was Abraham when he lied about his wife. He was a mature man. He was older. Moses was a seasoned leader when he lost his. So David committed adultery and murder. You see, you never grow out of your ability to sin. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you're getting more mature. I know that in my own life. How does one keep preserving one's faith? What does it take?
It takes perseverance.
Perseverance is a continued effort to do and achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or
opposition. And we all experience those, and we're experiencing a lot of
those right now, right? To follow Jesus, even when he leads us to and through harrowing times. Clinging to God, he holds us firmly in his hands. This is what perseverance is. It's following Jesus, biblically defined. You could define perseverance in a lot of ways. But biblically defined, it's following Jesus. It's clinging on to God, like Moses was sharing. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ, like the woman did at the well. That's what perseverance is. It's not just some cognitive gymnastics or self-help thing. It's a relationship with the one who gives you the power to do what you know you need to do. Well, in what ways are we supposed to persevere and follow Jesus? We're going to look at ways in which we can increase our perseverance. And you have the message notes in front of you, and we're going to get through about half of those notes this morning and the other half next week. But before we look at how to become better persistent and committed in our relationship with God, what are the areas that God wants us to persevere in? Some of those areas. Number one, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12. So one area that God wants us to be persevering in is in the area of prayer. Now, how many of you you know, raise your hand and, you know, so I can see how many of you are really good at prayer, all right? How, you know, prayer comes easy to you or not? Well, it comes difficult to all of us, but God wants us to continue to persevere. So how is your prayer life? Is it passionate? Is it consistent? Is it transparent? Okay? One of the
best ways, let me give you a real practical thing. Normally I give you practical things at the
end, but let me slip this in right away. One practical way of becoming persevering in prayer is write out your prayers. I shared this with the youth group the other night. Just take a sheet of paper like this, write A-C-T-S. Just draw some lines, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, S, supplication.
And write out your prayers. Start by praising the Lord.
And then confess your sins. And then write a list of things you're thankful for. As Moses was sharing earlier, we have this new thing here. We have this new thing here. We have this new thing here. And we get this kind of ungrateful attitude or that this entitlement attitude. And when things don't happen the way we want them to happen and we don't have the toys or the
things that we need, well, then we get discouraged.
Well, you see, we're ended up being kind of a spoiled sort of humankind. Well, let's reverse that. Let's thank the Lord for what we do have. It could be a lot worse. So just persevere. And then afterwards, just throw it out. You can keep it.
You don't have to.
But see, it helps you discipline life. It helps you continue to persevere. Number two, God wants to persevere, okay, in doing good. Galatians 6:9. And it's in your notes. Let's read this together if you can at home or wherever you are. Ready?
Let us not become weary in doing good.
For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Oh, I love that verse. Don't you love that verse? It's one of the most encouraging verses in all the Bible. Don't grow weary of doing good. Sometimes you grow weary of doing good. Don't. Keep on keeping on. Do you give up easily? Why? It seems with each new generation, it's getting more difficult to find a resilient faith. One reason, perhaps, is because it's easy to find another alternative to solving the problem. You have a problem? Movie, a YouTube video, or whatever, and you can learn something new and something better. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that can help you persevere. Problems?
It's wonderful. You get everything at your fingertips. But what happens if you do
all of those things and then it doesn't work? Well, then what do you do? Well, when it happens, when things don't go the way you want them to go, then you get
discouraged. And then you doubt.
You know, you may have prayed to seek for advice and trusted, and yet things aren't turning out differently than what you expected. You said, I've tried everything and I have no alternative. Well, it's always too soon to give up. It's always too soon to give up. Now, I know there's a time to end, but normally we give up too soon. Proverbs 3:27 says this, don't withhold good when it is in your power to do something. Don't withhold good when it is in your power to do something. And when you know what to do and you don't do it, it's sin. It's sin. So God wants us to continue to persevere. To persevere in doing good and be encouraged, memorize those scriptures. Memorize Galatians 6:9. Memorize Proverbs 3:27. Memorize James chapter 4. These are very important verses that can help you and motivate you to continue to persevere in these two areas. Another area, there are so many other areas. Let me give you number three, and then we're going to move on to the next section. Number three. But you must remain faithful to the things, let's read all this together, sorry. One, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Isn't that good? 2 Timothy 3:14. So we're supposed to persevere in the things that we were taught. From our parents who discipled us, from our Sunday school teachers, from
youth group,
Awana groups. Remember those things that were taught to you. Are you a loyal person? Let me ask you a question. Are you a loyal person? And do you doubt easily? Do you often question what you know to be true? If so, you're not alone.
We all have these doubts
in our minds, and they're fleeting. David had doubts. Every man had doubts. It's not necessarily sin to stay in that doubt. It's a weakness. It's not necessarily a sin, but it is a sin to stay in that doubt. Does that make sense? So bring your doubts before the Lord, and that
is the way
you handle your doubts. Why do we often doubt? causes of our doubts. They pull you. Doubts pull you off the persevering path, okay? For example, just yesterday, I was talking to an old farm boy. He grew up on a farm. And he said, do you have any stories of how God helped you as growing up? And he said, yeah, to the farm. And I was having some fun. I took some strong twine, and I made a lasso out of it, okay? And then I tied the end of that rope to my stomach, and I was going to lasso. So he lassoes this cow, and it gets first try. Well, the cow immediately pulls it really tight, and he starts to run. Because the rope was around his waist, he starts to pull this young boy, and he couldn't get it off because as the cow was pulling him, you know, faster and faster, the knot got tighter and tighter, and he's sitting there holding on to it like this with both hands, you know, slaloming around the farmyard, missing all these different objects, and he's praying, "Dear God, what am I going to do?" Finally, he gets almost to these thorn bushes. He cries out. All of a sudden, the rope or the twine breaks. And he lands about a few feet in front of all the thorn bushes. That's well, how do you prevent tying that, in a sense, rope around your waist so you don't get into those situations? Well, one of the ways to do that is to realize the causes of them. So, can I speak to you heart to heart for a few minutes, okay? Let me speak to you heart to heart. Let's look at some of the causes. We're gonna go into the solutions a little bit today and then more so next week. But let's look at some of the causes right now. And then when we get through that, we'll be able to manage things a little bit better, okay? There are personality causes. Some people are just prone to doubt because it's in your DNA. Some people are more outgoing, and others are more socially reclusive. You know, we have introverts, we have extroverts. God makes different kinds of personalities. Many of us have a hard time believing anything due to skeptical nature of our personality. Are you a skeptical person about everything in life? Do you have problems in your marriage due to the lack of trust, and it's really not warranted? Do you find it's hard to trust people? Even your closest friends, sometimes you're always questioning their motive or whatever. Are you afraid, in a sense, to get rides at amusement parks? I am. I don't like to go on a ride in amusement parks because I'm always thinking of a disaster that might occur. You know, maybe it's because living overseas and they are thinking, you know, my goodness, I don't know if my life here. Because I analyze things. Are you an analyst? You're like, oh man, this could go wrong, this could go wrong. Well, there's a good thought to that. I mean, there's a strength to that. We need analyzers. We need careful people, you know, engineer kind of people. So it's a good side of that. But sometimes that can keep you, okay, from trusting God and persevering. All right. Well, I guess I'm going to get a little bit different mic here, right? Okay. I'll just keep going. Thank you, Caleb. So are you skeptical about life, about everything? Do you have problems, you know, that of trusting the Lord? Now, there are also historical reasons, historical causes to doubt. Some people have a traumatic experience in their past that keep them on their edge. This edge tempers their ability to trust. This is what the professionals are saying, okay? Those that do counseling for a living. It may be that something in your childhood or something very recent. Maybe you've had an abusive situation. And if you did, I'm sorry. Those things shouldn't have happened to you. And it was a very evil thing. Maybe you've been physically abused, or maybe you've been verbally abused. And so it's hard for you to trust anybody, anywhere. In fact, you're wondering, God, where were you? Why did you allow this to happen? You see, these things affect our ability to continue to trust God in difficult situations. And maybe you see somebody that was similar to the person who abused you in some way, and then you project what happened there upon them. You know, we do that sometimes. Now, what do you do in those situations? Well, you take it to the Lord and continue to get counseling or healing from that, from this trauma that has caused you to doubt. Which leads to another cause, medical causes. Often people experience chemical imbalances in the brain. Maybe you have a chemical imbalance in the brain. Let's talk about that for a minute, okay? This could be a genetic thing, and the difficulties with stress or maybe depression. Maybe you're just prone for that, okay? Once the serotonin levels in your brain become imbalanced, people find that they experience all sorts of changes. And these don't necessarily represent who they are. If you have a hormonal imbalance, some type of chemical imbalance in your brain, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. That's what happened to you as a result of the fall. Just like diabetes, just like hair falling out, you know? I mean, some people, more than others. It has nothing to do with you. It's not, you know, anything that God's punishing you or nothing. It's just part of the fall. And someday you're going to get healed of it. So, but those things are real and they're painful. And they can keep you from trusting God. Another cause are physical causes. Eating unhealthy and a lack of exercise can cause us tremendous mood swings, even with mental depression. You see, this happens for two reasons. Let's talk about our physical causes because this is very important. Our minds need good nutrition to work properly. And when our mind is not working properly, our faith will suffer. We are mind, body, and spirit. We are all connected. And when your mind's not working right because of lack of exercise or lack of nutrition, it affects your spiritual moods. It's why it's always easier to talk after a meal. You know that. Number two, while people come in a variety of packages, being out of shape physically can have an emotional impact that can affect everything from personal security to our trust in God. When things are not the way they were supposed to be, including our physical condition, we in some sense are living outside the will of God. This can bring us down psychologically and affect our faith in many ways. Well, then we have stressful causes to doubt. When we place too much on our shoulders, are you busier now than you were before? Maybe. Maybe you're trying to learn new technology because you never have to for your work. Well, that can cause a lot of stress. And normally with stress comes a lack of sleep. And both have tremendous effects on the way we think and how we judge reality. How's your sleep? Are you sleeping well? That can affect your ability to trust the Lord. And then we have a few more left, theological causes of doubt. I don't know how many people I have come in contact with who are doubting God and they had every reason to. Wait a minute, every reason to doubt God? Yeah, and what I mean by this is that we often doubt God, but it is not really the God of the Bible we are doubting. We assume characteristics about God that are not true. So they're doubting God, but they're not really doubting the God of the Bible. They're doubting the God of that they have created in their minds. For example, we imagine that God is supposed to protect our family, right, from all physical harm. And when he doesn't, we begin to doubt, right? Something goes wrong. But the God that we are doubting is not the God of Scripture. When we believe that God has made promises that he has not, God never said that you will not have tribulation. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite. You will have tribulation, but do not fear. I have overcome the world. It's even better evidence that God is sovereign when he can take any situation and make good out of it. Now, he does prevent probably 95% of everything that could possibly happen to us. God does prevent that. And when we get to heaven, we're going to go, wow, man, Lord, you really did prevent a lot. But there is that 5% or 10% that he does allow. Well, you got to trust him in that area. But again, he didn't say that he would not prevent things from happening. He has to allow certain things, right? So we can get our patience together. We can get our dependence together. And you know the reasons why he allows certain things to exist. God's not a candy machine in the sky. We're not setting ourselves up. We are setting ourselves up for a fall when we think that God is just this candy machine where we can just get every good thing from him. So bad theology can bring about so much unwarranted doubt. So much unwarranted doubt if you have bad theology. And then finally, sinful causes. And we don't have to talk much about that. But when we're not obeying God the way we should, living in sin, we are going to be prone to doubt God at the most fundamental area in our lives. So, All that in conclusion is this. So you see, there are many reasons we doubt. The list can go on and on. And I thought it was worth talking about some of those causes. Because when you talk about some of those causes, it gives you sort of an objective view. And you're like, yeah, okay, this is the reason why, this is the reason why, this is the reason why. And then you can sort of work and try to figure out how to solve those problems. So think about what I just said. Anyway, so you see those are many reasons there's many reasons you doubt. But whatever the reason may be, it's not good enough to keep us from believing in a God in a sense that he can help us get through it. Does this mean he is reasonable? He is reasonable. I mean, is it unreasonable for the fact that God would allow these things and then say, okay, I'm not going to help you? No. He allows these things, and then he says, yes, I am going to help you. So it's helpful to understand human nature, and it's also necessary to understand God's nature. So let's move to the second section. What is God's nature? What does God do to help us persevere? All right? He helps us persevere by giving us certain ability. And number one, in John 10, it says this, I have given them eternal life, that they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. When you're in the Father's hand, nobody can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Now, does that help you persevere? Absolutely, because God's hands are really strong. God wins in the end, my friend. God wins in the end, my friend. Like Moses was saying, he knew that when things were not going well, he's losing this back issue. I just, went through a whole poison ivy thing. I thought I was Jungle Man, and be able to get into the back of the yard and start pulling all these weeds like I was invincible. And, I ended up with 2 weeks of pain and agony. But I knew it was going to get over eventually, right? But when you're going through pain and suffering, you're wondering, is it really going to get better in the end? It will. Hang in there. So for the Christian, this life is the worst it's going to get. For the Christian, this life is the worst it's going to get. It's only going to get better. So even if God doesn't heal you in this life, he will in the next one. He reassures you that he is stronger than any opposition to protect. We don't believe in a Star Wars kind of God. We don't believe in a Star Wars kind of God. Good against evil, and there's this battle back and forth, and all of a sudden, one's winning and one's not. No, that's not how it is at all. God has everything in control. Oh, he'll allow certain things to exist, but he's always on top of things. Nothing can happen. Nothing can happen without his permission. Isn't that a wonderful thought? It's a beautiful thought. If he allows it, there must be a good reason for it, and he is good. So trust in him, and later on, we'll find out why. So realize that he has given us the power. He has all the power. Number two, these are things you need to think about in terms of God's character that can help you persevere. You see where I'm going with this? Number two, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Okay? In Romans 11, 29. You can't fail at using your gift. You can fail at using your gift by not using it or using it incorrectly, but it will never be taken away from you. You may not use your gift, or you may use your gift improperly, but that gift is never going to be taken away from you. It is irrevocable. God will not take it away. It's never too late to start doing what's right, okay? He reassures you that not even you can deny yourself of his blessing and calling. You can't even, this may sound funny, because why would you deny yourself of God's blessing? But not even you can deny yourself of your usefulness. It is in you. Now, you may choose not to use it, but you can't deny it. Now, that's reassuring, right? Because some people think they lost it. I blew it. I failed. You didn't lose it. Failure is just an opportunity, guys, to begin again more intelligently, right? Learn from your mistakes. Move on. God knows you're but dust. He'll give you another chance. He hasn't given up on you. Don't you give up on you. Others may have given up on you, but God hasn't given up on you. Keep moving on. Get a prayer partner and be encouraged, okay? There's a dream inside of you. There's a burning desire inside of you. God did not just make you to eat and sleep and go to work and come home and watch a good movie and go to bed. Not just even to raise a family, which is this wonderful thing to do. But God has made you for more than just that. What is your purpose? What are your spiritual gifts? Don't give up on that. That's encouraging. There was a famous man who lived in the late 1800s who knew the meaning of calling for the glory of God. In spite of his incredible odds, he persevered, and he created one of the most useful inventions of all times. I want to show you a brief biological sketch of a man who was called by God. He didn't give up. He persevered. He paid attention to that burning desire of his calling in life, and he made it. And maybe you'll be encouraged by this. Let's watch this.
Rubber, it's everywhere. Tires, iPod cases, basketballs, even the soles of your shoes. We live in a world insulated and protected by rubber. Back in the 1800s, rubber was just becoming popular, except for one problem. The cold winter air would make it hard and inflexible, and in the summer, it became a sticky, gooey mess. One man would change all that. His wife's kitchen became a laboratory. His family possessions were pawned. And without any sort of chemical training or education, he struggled through dozens, hundreds, and eventually thousands of chemical experiments. All of this to make rubber useful. Most of us would consider such an endeavor a silly waste of time. But for this man, it was a journey of faith. He felt like he was on a mission from God to solve the mysterious melting rubber problem. And eventually, he did. He discovered the formula to galvanize rubber and make it a useful resource to the entire world. Charles Goodyear was the name of this passionate Christ follower. His name is familiar today because it is stamped on millions of tires, and the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company is the largest in the world. But Charles Goodyear never got rich from his little discovery. He actually lived on the edge of financial ruin until his death in 1860. 4 decades later, Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company was founded by people who weren't even related to him. But the impact of this one man's discovery can be seen everywhere. Here's a man that followed God and followed his passion, not for personal glory, but because of faith. The truth is that God calls people to unusual tasks. Whether it's building an ark, breaking down a wall, retrieving a donkey, or discovering new things, God calls you to live on the cusp for Him. Whatever your passion, God wants to use it and you to glorify Him.
Charles Goodyear died in poverty, pursuing his God-given calling in life to help our transportation needs, all for the glory of God. I never knew that. Amazing man. He spent all his resources. He pawned everything he owned because he had that dream that God was going to do something in his life. He did hundreds of experiments in his kitchen. Can't imagine what his wife felt. Just to pursue his God-given dream. Huge sacrifice. What is your dream? What has God put in your heart? Has everything been invented? Has everything been discovered? A lot of people think, oh, everything's been done. No, not everything's been done. There's a lot more things that could be done, better, more efficient, for the glory of God and not for the glory of man. Don't settle for second best in your life. Don't waste your life. Don't pursue the American dream. Pursue the heavenly dream, whatever God's will is for your life. There are only a few things that are eternal, my friends. And let these three things guide every decision in your life. There are only three things that are eternal. Only three. God, heaven, everything that's included in that. Number two, the Word of God. This will never pass away. Never. Never. And we don't know all the truth because God is way beyond our ability to understand. But He's given us enough. And we'll have all eternity to find out more. God's eternal. Heaven's eternal. Truth is eternal. and you are eternal. Your soul will never die. And keep those three things in mind when you make your decisions in life. Think from an eternal perspective. And whatever God calls you to do, be sure that it's helping to achieve what God wants to achieve in those three areas. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so excited about this message. Not because it has anything to do with me, but because it has everything to do with you. We have just scratched the surface of an amazing understanding of you and what it takes to continue to be like you. So, Father, would you bless what was said today through your word? Would you help us understand that you have given us eternal life and that someday we will be with you forever? Can you spend just a minute now, friends? Wherever you are, drop whatever you're doing, remove all your distractions, sit down, and please just thank the Lord that your name is written in the book of life. You're going to live forever and ever, living intimately with the Father, Son, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit forever. Can you just thank the Lord for that right now? Just thank him. Just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm going to be with you. Next, just thank the Lord for the gifts and the callings that he's given you. Thank him for your spiritual gifts. And if you know them, thank him for those things. And ask him to stir up the spiritual gift that's within you. Can you do that right now? Whatever that gift of gift is, maybe it's teaching, maybe it's helps, maybe it's hospitality, maybe it's mercy, maybe it's leadership. Whatever the gift is, just ask God to stir up that gift within you and ask him for a calling in life. Maybe you don't know how God wants to use you in those gifts. Maybe you're using them right now. That's great. But tell him, Lord, here I am. Send me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, help me. Direct me. Don't let me waste my life. I only got one, and I want to give you the highest glory. Just be honest with God. Can you do that right now? Let's do that. Thank him for your gift and ask him how you want him, how he wants to use you. Let's do that. Father, we thank you for our time here this morning. We ask your forgiveness, I know I do, for doubting you so much. Oh, there's a lot of causes and there's a lot of pain. And I pray, Lord, for those that have been hurt historically or medically, are under some really tough times right now. Financial difficulties or unemployment or underemployment. Relationship issues. Uncertainty in the future. But Lord, would you sustain them by your sustaining grace and give them hope because you're sovereign and then you're sovereignly good. Thank you that you never give up on us. In Jesus' name.